Welcome to the Canadian Tech Podcast for Monday, September the 10th, 2012. I'm Stuart Clark.
I think I'm John Pylon.
John, you are you're quite animated tonight.
I am tired.
You're
beyond
tired.
Belief.
This is your first week of really like working
We're
for
back
a living.
To work. Yeah, no, I'm a real person now.
Yeah,
so
because
that's
apparently
a good thing.
You dropped out of year three, but you also graduated.
I dropped out of school and graduated in the same day, and then got hired to the job I was already doing.
And now, of course, that's a big Viking Games where your job title seems to change faster than some governments.
I believe it's just IT operations support now.
Is that all
nice.
It is? Has it actually stayed like that
for a week? Well,
wow.
Yeah, a week.
All right, I'll have to talk to Titus. I'm sure that will change again. So John, we have a very special guest with us tonight here on the podcast. Someone we wanted to have on for a while.
Yeah, but he was too busy drinking coffee to come on and
talk
to us.
You know, if it wasn't for him, the coffee industry in London would be severely.
And it's not who you think.
It's not Franck. No. We've had Franck on before, but no, this is the other reason.
This is the real reason.
We are very pleased to welcome
Same
Mike.
Name, though.
That's true. We're very pleased to welcome Mike Marsman to the show. Welcome, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
And see, that's it.
And that's it. Okay.
And we're done. Okay.
And that was a show, everybody.
Screw all you.
Okay. So Mike, you want to give us a bit of background? Like, what were we thinking on having you on?
Yeah, what were you thinking?
I don't know. Apparently, you've been a busy guy over the years. You worked at TV Works for a while.
It's funny. When John's describing his story about, you know, quitting school and getting a full-time job, that's exactly how my career started.
Exactly.
I was an intern between my third and fourth years at Western back in 2000. Got a job at this small startup-ish place, about 37 people. I was employee 37 when I started. Got pretty big, got purchased. You know, London, we grew to be about 240 at our largest. Pretty exciting place.
Mm-hmm. And then kind of the bottom
fell out.
Yeah,
and then a slow decline. Yeah. We just won't go back.
No, but that's fine. No, but you're quite happy now. You're working at
I'm over at Good Life Fitness.
Good Life
Fitness.
I'm
managing the software development team there.
Right, so. And I hear from some of the tweets in that. You also place a particular emphasis on co-ops.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. It's one of those I really strongly believe in. This is how I got my start, and I want to give the same opportunity to other people where I can.
Well, that's the way I started, and also that's how my co-host here. He was a co-op for a while, and they still kept him on.
What were they thinking?
That you never realize that's the episode title for tonight.
That means I'm going to have to chime in every now and then.
Exactly. So, okay, fairly busy week. A lot of topics to go through here. Couple of things. We have an Apple event coming up, apparently.
Really?
Apple's announcing something. I don't know. No one seems to really. No, I've heard of this company. Yeah.
This isn't called the fanboy episode.
No, sorry. Well, even though there's a couple of fanboys here, no, I don't want to. I'll leave that until Wednesday.
Okay.
Actually, on that note, my friend Mike Franck and I both stated that if this new iPhone that they're supposedly announcing isn't amazing, mind-blowing, world-changing, we're both going to get the Lumia 920.
Yeah, holy. It's not going to be anything special.
I don't know.
It can't be.
It's got to be.
Expectations are way too high.
That's what they said with the 4. And then everyone's like, oh, the 4S isn't going to be good. But it really was. It blew sales expectations out of the water.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be faster. It's going to be larger. There's going to be a new form factor for the case. It's not going to have NFC. They'll save that for the 5S.
Yeah, I'm not even ready for NFC, I don't think, yet. I don't think, because the fact is you're going to get it and you're going to be like, oh, wait, nobody uses it. I bet my prediction is that we'll have NFC, even though I won't use it because we're in Canada and it'll be about 3 years before anything's built in.
Well, and that's the unfortunate thing. I'm more looking forward to the new iOS because, you know, we'll finally have Siri support if the rumors are true.
We do get that's not a rumor. That's a fact.
Okay. Well,
that
until I see it on my hot little iPhone 4S.
It's on iOS 6 right now. If you go on, there's Canadian Yelp reviews and
that's cool.
Other things are integrated in.
Okay, so anyway, we should point out this is on Wednesday. I believe the keynote announcement starts at 10 a.m. Pacific, so that's 1 p.m. The Canadian Tech Podcast, we are going to have coverage. We're going to have a Google Hangout chat. Keep an eye on the Twitter feed. I will send a URL for that. I'm hoping to have by then a YouTube branded channel for us, but if not, I'll use my own. And we'll do a Google Hangout for those who can participate. If you just want to listen, we'll also have live streaming to YouTube.
Can you do a on-air broadcast Hangout?
Well, this
you can do the on-air broadcast where anybody can watch.
Yeah, but you can also do a Hangout. That's what I did last time. You can do a Hangout where basically people choose, you know, you can come in and participate.
Yeah. No,
and then there's also a simultaneous.
The on-air broadcast.
You can watch. Live on YouTube.
Yeah, it's simultaneous. Okay. So that'll be kind of cool. So we're going to see how that works out. Again, it's always a testing thing. The last one actually worked fairly well, so I was kind of pleased. So that's going to be on Wednesday, probably starting between 12:30 and 1, so we get everything in place. And then we'll just follow along with some of the news sites, and we'll see what happens.
So who's the definitive source for live blogging these events?
I like GDGT.
Really?
They've done the best job for the past few. Yeah.
And actually, I used to like Engadget, but I like The Verge now. They do a really nice job.
The Verge also does a good job.
Yeah. So we'll have enough people chiming in, and you know, we'll basically talk about different things. As much as I'd love to see it, I don't think we're going to see an iPad Mini on this one. I think it'll be a separate announcement.
No. I bet they will.
You think?
Tim Cook is going to make the one more thing joke because he didn't do it last time. I think he's going to make that joke, and everybody's going to burst into applause and cheering.
Yeah.
And he's going to pull the rabbit out of the hat.
And it'll be an iPad.
It's not like
Mini.
It's a surprise, right? Everyone's expecting
no.
it.
No.
Everyone's expecting it. And I think if they weren't to do it, they're going to be in a bit of.
But why not
trouble, but a bit of a, like, people are going to be very, very disappointed.
But why not have a separate announcement, though?
Doesn't need it. It's a second version of an iPad, a smaller one. If they wait too late, they're going to already lose out on the Christmas rush because people are already starting to formulate, what am I getting people for Christmas? They're getting Nexus 7s. They're going to get the 7-inch Windows tablet. They're going to get the Kindle Fire.
I'm going to get a
Sony Xperia.
Though the curved one?
Nah.
I never know whether you two are serious or not. God help me. God help me, this show. I should be drinking. Anyway, that'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping a very attractive price point that'll have to compete
with
somebody.
iPad Mini?
Yeah.
$250.
Yeah, hopefully.
In the States. I don't know what it'll be in Canada. It might be the same.
It would be nice. We are at par pretty well.
We're pretty much. And I think, is the current iPad the same price here now?
Pretty close.
I think it's the same.
I haven't checked in a while.
Yeah, I haven't looked.
I'm not allowed to look at the Apple Store right now.
The internet.
We have this new invention called the internet.
Why don't you look that up, John? And we're gonna keep going. we also got a bunch of other new releases. Windows Server 2012 is now out. Now, Mike, a Good Life. Do they use a lot of Windows stuff?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. It's okay. I know. That's all right.
Or a Windows shot. It just does not excite me.
$20 more.
$20 more. Okay. So there we go. Do you guys use Windows at all?
We do. Yeah, we're Windows shop.
You're Windows shop. So there we go.
Much to my chagrin.
I know. Well, you know. Again, it'll be interesting to see. Apparently, it shares a few things with the upcoming Windows 8. So we'll see how the big shops handle it, or if just like Windows 8, they're going to skip it right by.
Yep.
What is the Windows 8 features that would be beneficial for server?
Where's that cricket sound again when we need it?
Well, yeah, it's just a bit strange. Like, the Windows 8 features are mostly the, whatever they're calling, they can't call it Metro anymore, the new Windows 8 feature.
The Windows 8 G GUI or something.
Yeah,
whatever.
Windows 8 GUI or something.
Yeah,
but that's the big thing with Windows 8, and then the little bit of performance.
Well, and this is what I'm hearing in the enterprise space. A lot of people, particularly since release 2 of Windows 2008, which is what we were using, people are very happy with it. You don't tend to change every single time. You might skip one or two iterations. We went from... pardon me. That never happens to the Pros on Live. Do you ever notice that?
They've got a mute button.
They must have a mute button.
Sneeze button, it's called.
Or they have no nose, one of the two.
Or a cough button.
But one of the things that happens, you don't nearly upgrade as quickly. There's just, you know, it's just risky. It's expensive. Yeah. There's a lot of work. I know in organizations I've worked, we went from NT, we skipped through 2000 and went to 2003.
Yeah.
And there were still a few boxes when I left doing there. So,
except, though, the one issue, though, there's still a lot of boxes on XP. And there's a lot of bugs, and there are times ticking down for XP service support.
On the desktop side, definitely.
Oh, servers, they'll be running 2003 in tons of places.
Yeah, well,
still,
but there's still a few places, people running 2000, and that would be more the
server
concern.
I don't think server is really going to be a big deal. Like, 2003 to 2008 server, I don't think anybody ever cared about. Even server admins aren't, because they're not going to update it anyways because they're afraid.
Now, do you know the problem is you still have 9 billion different versions? Maybe not 9 billion. Yes. There's at least four. There was six editions of 2008 before. The ones being released were Standard and Data Center, but there's also going to be two other ones, Foundation Edition.
Is that like the new web version?
It's only sold through OEMs. And there's also going to be a Windows Server 2012 Essentials, which replaces Small Business Server Essentials, which kind of puts everything into a single box. It's, you know, apparently it's good for a smaller a small type environment, stuff like that. So, again, for those of you who need to worry about that, there we go. It's now out. Kindle Fire HD announcement. The fire is out.
The
fire is out. You'd like that? The main thing I read about was all the controversy about the opt-out advertising, and they finally backed down fairly quickly. Mike, you want to touch on that a bit?
To be honest, I didn't really hear a lot about that. So
I'm with Mike. I don't know where you were reading, but I saw nothing really about that. I saw more stuff about the specs and how it's better than the
Basically one of the things they were saying before is you could buy two types. You could buy one where you could opt out of the ads.
That's the Kindle Fire.
Okay.
Well,
So that's what I was mainly talking about as well. But do you have any comments on the Fire?
Well, the Fire is useless in Canada. Mm-hmm. I don't think Amazon is ever going to be really a threat to Apple's business model for the tablet space until it remembers that there's a world outside of the United States.
Exactly.
None of the Amazon services work in Canada other than buying stuff. You can't do the digital downloads in Canada. You can't really do the app store.
And you're
that
very
well.
Limited on what you can buy. And I'm sure there's a lot of Canadian merchants that thank God for that, because if they ever got their act together, it could really be interesting.
Yeah. The one thing I found really interesting about it, and it wasn't about the Fire HD, it wasn't about the $50 for 4G LTE, whatever. It wasn't about the paper light. How many times has that joke been said?
It was
when Bezos said that people don't want gadgets anymore, they want services. And they want services that improve over time. And that's a real different take on this sort of space.
Mm-hmm. Right? And I would agree, though.
Oh, I think that is going to be what puts them ahead.
Yeah.
Now, there was a lot of rumor that this was going to be an Amazon phone announced at this as well.
Yeah, right. I'm really surprised there isn't an Amazon phone yet.
But I think there's something lingering.
It's got to be a yet. Yeah. But
then the question is, will any of our Canadian carriers carry it based on Amazon's, the way Amazon's
signed? They won't sell it in Canada.
Yeah, well, exactly. If Amazon does what I suspect they're going to do, they're going to bulk buy a bunch of 4G space across the continental U.S., sell it back, and do a circle boot around the providers.
Interesting.
Right? So they'll bulk buy a bunch of 4G. They'll sell it at their rate.
Can't imagine them doing that, even right now with the Kindles and the 3G.
Well, that's what they
do. AT&T.
But that's what they do.
No, they just stroke a deal with them.
Yeah. They bulk buy it from the networks, right?
Yeah, and then I can't see them doing that with a phone or even like their current phone. They're selling it back, but it's still, you get, what is it, 50 meg or it's 500 megabytes.
Yeah, but that's
at 4G speeds.
If you can go around the providers, that's where your money's at.
Yeah, but right. The problem is they're 500 megabytes for $50 a year. That's great.
Oh, yeah.
500 megabytes or 500 megs a month,
yeah.
Except for the fact that it's 4G speeds. You're going to download that in about 6 minutes?
It's 250, isn't it?
Or maybe it's 250
megs.
It's even smaller.
It's small. I totally agree.
But like at 4G speeds, you can't even update your OS for that. But again, none of this matters because you can't
get
anything in Canada.
Which is really unfortunate. It's something I know a lot of people would love to see change. We actually have a topic talking about this. Our next topic, CRTC warning over smartphones app spoofing and revealing caller ID. You know, a lot of complaints people have is about the CRTC and our monopoly or whatever on the system. But let's just briefly get into about this one here. This is basically apps now where you can basically spoof. You can call someone and basically spoof your own phone number so the other person's caller ID thinks it's something completely different. The Globe and Mail article was actually quite interesting because it kind of showed both sides to this. There's pluses and minuses on both sides. There's people, obviously, who, due to privacy concerns and stuff like that, don't want their phone number published. But also the other way, it's unfortunate. We've already seen this being used for telemarketing and scam type calls. Like half the time when I get a call now from a certain 905 number on my iPhone, I know it's garbage, so I don't even bother anymore. I'm just curious what both of you think about this.
I see it's a good news, bad news story.
Okay.
The good news is the CRTC is realizing that their domain is being encroached on things that they can't control anymore. So they're trying to control this one, and they scared somebody off with a bunch of legislation and threats of legal action, and great. But they can't control it anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way you know CRTC can control what app is installed.
Right.
It just doesn't happen.
Well,
so that's the good news, right, is that they're realizing that you know, they need to do something. The bad news is they can't really do much.
Yeah, it's like, what are they going to do? Start blocking internet pages in Canada? Start censoring it? There's really not much. But also, at the same time, I don't see any benefit to this at all for anybody ever. You can block a number. If you're worried about privacy, block your number. Why would you ever need to spoof your number to be somebody else's legitimately?
I think the concern is when you have things like women's shelters and stuff like that, sometimes there's requirements that you have to make a call, and you don't want the other person to know where it's coming from.
Exactly.
And there is some
– No. But then you block the number. You can call any
of
your –
This gets around that, right? This gets around the block.
Oh, this gets around the – not good if it's
well. And this is the problem. There's good. There's
good
ways
to
that.
This.
I know. Well, this is the way the technology is these days, right? Yeah. You know, we can have it one way, but then that affects one legitimate use. So we can
to figure any legitimate use for this app.
What would a reasonable rational person
use this app for? If it's privacy, they should be going to the phone company and get their phone number blocked so that nobody can see who's calling you. The only time you could use this is for like a prank. Or for malicious purposes.
Yeah, if you're like a debt collector or something, or you know.
Yeah, if you're a debt collector, it's kind of malicious. Oh, it's my grandmother's calling.
But you know what? See, you know what's funny? The company I used to work for, they had theirs blocked and wouldn't say the company name. It just said name unavailable. I never could get that. It just, you know, it really gets me. But the other thing to keep in mind, too, is because we're in a global village now, and it's like this is the problem where you know, people complain, you know, sometimes to the CRTC about, oh, how come I'm getting all these calls, but I'm on the do not call list? Well, the problem is the do not call list only applies to Canada. You know, it doesn't help if you've got some company from India claiming to be Microsoft calling you up. They don't care.
The interesting thing about this article, though, is it talks a little bit about the, you know, usefulness of this application, which might be limited, but it's also the fact that it's stifling innovation. Right.
Yes.
So I have for the longest time wanted a Google Voice account for my phone. And I know that if I could create a 403 area code and forward that through, I could get one in Canada.
Yep.
But it's always been rumored that CRTC has been the reason why Google Voice hasn't been available in Canada. Mm-hmm. And until they kind of let go of some of this, we're going to be left behind.
CRTC is the reason we don't have a lot of stuff in Canada. Remember when we used to have, what was it, the radio.
Oh, some of the streaming radio services.
One of the streaming radio. Yeah. What was it?
Yeah,
it
was Pandora? Like,
yeah, Pandora. We used to have Pandora, and then CRTC shut it down. Yeah. I miss Pandora.
Thank you, CRTC.
Yeah, thanks, CRTC, for ruining my life.
Your government at work.
Government.
But no, it's, you know, and it's an ongoing thing where we, you know, you talk about the so-called competition between Rogers and Bell and stuff like that. There's still a lot of issues, and I know we've touched upon it in other shows, but it's true. Until we can find a way to get around that, to have broadband, have decent speeds available to all areas of the country, then yeah, as you were saying, we are going to be left behind.
Wasn't there a day when it was like, oh God, Canada, they got great bandwidth up there?
Yeah, and then that
wasn't
very quickly,
that long ago.
That wasn't that long ago, and then it seemed to very, very quickly to disappear. And it's, you know, it's really the shame because you can see some of the stuff, you know, especially stuff like, you know, people always say, oh, you know, the companies say, oh, it's because it's so remote. They use that as a hindrance, but think of the advantages can be because, you know, you can have doctors talking to patients in remote communities, stuff like that. If you have, you know, that's an ideal thing that should be screaming for. We're remote, yes, but we have opportunities to fix that.
The problem is, though, is that 90% of the population of Canada lives within, what is it, 200 miles of the
200 kilometers from the border. Yep, it's true.
And then who's going to pay for this?
Exactly. And that's,
if you're willing to pay for it, Stuart, go ahead.
And that's the big thing. But you know what?
Well,
you know,
I've got a few things you can pay for me as well.
Well, no, but like I'm thinking instead of buying a bunch of F-35s, we buy some Avro Arrows instead, and we still save some money. You heard
crickets,
that story.
Crickets.
You heard that story about that one? Okay. All right. Just saying. That's a whole other one. I think it's rather hilarious here. Okay. This next one. I'm not sure if one of our hosts, Jameson, put this on or not. Facial recognition software. Whoops. Sorry. I just kicked John's microphone.
It's okay.
It beats kicking you in the face. So.
I don't think you could kick that high.
Ooh. See that folly of youth.
That sounds like a challenge.
I know. We'll worry
stand
about
by, folks,
later.
After the live stream.
Yeah, we'll turn off the live stream. We'll come
We're
back.
We're
going
to fight behind the monkey bars.
Okay, FBI to roll out $1 billion with a B, public facial recognition system in 2014. I love the article. We'll be onto your evil doing everywhere. Comments?
Meh. I'm surprised it doesn't already exist, to be honest.
The conspiracy theorists out there are going to be like going nuts over this.
Yeah,
exactly.
I check in Foursquare everywhere. If someone wants to know where I am, they look at my Foursquare history.
That's right, exactly. And, you know, you go to some places like Europe and that in England, they got so much CCTV. I liken this to a little bit, you know, I do concern myself about privacy a little bit. I liken this to some of the scanners they have now in police cars that can run through a street and, you know, using the license plate recognition can immediately see if a car doesn't have insurance and stuff like that. You know, it's always a fine line. The big question is how long do they keep the data? You know, where is the data kept and where is it purged? Yeah. And that always seems to be the concern.
But what is the difference between this and hiring somebody to stand and watch?
Good question.
Yeah, and they can talk to each other and communicate.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's like people are worried like, oh, no, computers are going to see my face. It's anybody can see your face.
I think I guess the question comes is if they retain the records, if in 10 years, let's say you're running for public office.
And they see
able to go back and see you doing something or maybe going into a union meeting or something. And now you've switched allegiances or something. Could that be used? You know, and that's where it comes down to records. Records retention, basically. And I can see, you know, I can see that. Let's say someone who's under a witness protection program. Mm-hmm. Again, you don't want that data kept around for too long.
Yeah.
And I think that's more the concern people have.
I think people see that it's technology doing something that a human can and automatically think like, oh, no, this can do. But it's like we're worried about people in a witness protection program from maybe mobsters being able to find them. The mobsters are going to have to hack a system in order to find this, whereas they're just going to pay Bubba to stand out somewhere near and watch.
How many Bubbas can you hire for $1 billion?
Yeah. I bet you could get a lot of Bubbas for $1 billion.
That could cover the guy working.
A lot of Bubbas for
$1 billion.
Actually, $1 billion.
Not that I think $1 billion is not a lot of money. It is, but I would think for a nationwide across the U.S. initiative like this, $1 billion doesn't seem like that much.
You know what that means? The optics are going to be terrible. They're going to be like, oh, look, enhance. Nope. Remember when you saw them on CSI? Doesn't work.
You know, I think it's just like with the TSA and that, how long do they keep the data? You know, the big concern people have is
the backup guy go?
Is that if they, you know, if you argue with the TSA one or whatever, they put you on the list.
How long would you keep the data for?
I would, however long I would do it, I would publicly say this is how long it's for.
7 years?
And that's some of the problem.
Wait, what are they keeping? What is the worry about what they're keeping?
Well, for how long and where do they keep
it? Okay, but what is...
Because
again, everything in the government's kept for 7 years, pretty much. That's
no,
usually
not
the
everything.
Not, usually
not,
the
no,
standard.
But what I'm saying is, for example, let's say you're at a legitimate protest against the government in power.
Okay.
Okay. How long should that be kept, and can that be used against you? Again, I know I'm putting on a tinfoil hat a little bit, but there is concern
for as
there.
Long as someone could be called to testify against you.
Yeah,
because anybody there could have witnessed it, right?
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. So I think again, the worry of that.
I get the conspiracy theorists. Yeah. Yeah.
I get.
No,
oh,
but
I get
you can,
what
you can see where they're coming from.
I get that where they're going to get their points from. I just think their points are incredibly invalid in that state.
We're all reasonable, rational people here.
But I would like to point out something.
Yes.
Flying back from Seattle. I met the absolute greatest TSA agent in the world.
Words,
he was awesome.
By the way,
you're on the list now.
He was so friendly. He was like, he was making jokes with us. He was like, oh, look at this guy. You bet you're a heartbreaker, aren't you? And then I'm like, oh, no, I'm married now. No
He's
one.
Hitting on you, John. He's
and then,
hitting
no,
on
but
you.
Then he was talking about my wife, too. It was great. He was the funny, this giant black guy, just hilarious. It was amazing.
I'm suspicious. I'm going to play Dvorak here.
What were they thinking?
What were they thinking?
He made my day better. That's what I have to say.
I think he's definitely on the list now. I think definitely. Yeah. Soon he'll be a no-fly. You know what's going to happen next time he checks through to go to the U.S.?
He gets pulled to the back room.
He gets pulled to the back room. Out comes the glove. There you go. There you go.
You can't tarnish my memory of the happy TSA agent.
They'll give you new memories to
tarnish. But like everybody in line was so happy, and like it made the flight so much better just going through. And this guy was making jokes to everybody as they went through.
Maybe the TSA started spreading happy gas.
Maybe.
It's funny. I think they've always, you know, you can get people in that role that kind of get off making people's lives miserable.
Yeah.
And then
you get the other ones
that get off and make people happy.
I know. And this guy, it was just great. Because like the other guys were doing this. It's like, scan.
Well, that's good. I'm glad.
My happy TSA story.
I'm glad you had a happy TSA story.
There are many.
There's not many yet.
There are not many. No. This guy deserves a raise.
Okay, moving on. Because you were up in Alaska, weren't you?
I was up in Alaska.
Well, this kind of fits right into our next story about...
I still don't know what the tech angle is, but go ahead.
The tech angle...
Wait for it.
Wait for it. Well, we talk about Wi-Fi and stuff like that. Do we have enough satellites? Do we have... How can we use technology to help in the management and the enforcement and the monitoring of... Our Arctic.
I can't hear you from the stretch you're doing.
Can we rebuild the ice caps?
Can we rebuild it?
We could 3D print them, I guess.
But no, it's an interesting thing. Just involved with technology, you've got to deal with the cold and that. And that's one thing Canada's actually a leader in some of the Arctic areas and stuff like that. It was just an interesting story. I think Jameson threw it up here. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Obviously, Canada's got to decide what they're gonna do up there. The Arctic's important. Again, nice free Arctic. What's scary is this is the smallest, largest melt, I should say, ever.
Oh, yeah, we're down to the smallest amount of ice caps.
Yeah, and that's very scary. And there's a lot of people saying this shouldn't have happened for
a few
more years.
There was a great spoof video floating around the internet about... it was a weathercaster. If we actually told you,
oh
the real
yes,
news,
I love that one.
And it talks about, you know, yep. You stupid people should just realize that you're all going to die.
Well, you know, if people just don't start and getting their tailing gear. Okay, I found this one for you, John. This next story is for you, so you can rant and rave. HP's they've released schematics pictures of four of their new all in one PCs.
Yeah, they did a great job
with Windows 8. That very first one in the article, it looks very familiar. John, what do you think about this? Did you see this?
I was looking at it, and I get the iMac connections. Mm-hmm. But they've had one that looks similar to this for a little while.
Have
so
they
not...
had one with a touchpad like that, though?
The touchpad and the keyboard are what really are.
Yeah. Okay, so there's probably three patent restrictions being infringed.
I don't think actually Apple has a patent on its keyboard. Mm. It may on the touchpad, but I know there's tons of other Apple keyboards out there. So I don't know if they have that one patented.
But again, does it come down to imitation's the sincerest form of flattery? Do you think people are going to confuse this with an iMac?
Oh yeah. Someone who wants Windows and wants the look of an iMac.
But I don't think anybody's going to say that's an iMac.
Oh no, they want the sexy look and feel. Yeah.
They want something that looks nice. I think it's a bit of a ripoff, but it's nothing that's going to.
You know, it's funny though. I can see this is why in a lot of ways this is the way some of the industry is going. You've got a cleaner look and all that. I still don't quite like the whole all-in-one thing because I still feel like in 4 years I'll have a perfectly good monitor, but I'll have to replace it. That's my one thing. I'm still kind of.
And that's exactly what they want.
I know. Yeah. I know.
I have no problem with the all-in-ones. Normally, I can't make myself leave a computer for 3 years before wanting a new one. Mm-hmm. Either way.
But like I just think it's a shame we can't, you know, like our iMac here in a couple of years, we're going to have a...
Would you say this about your iPad?
iPad to me is a bit different.
Okay.
See, I don't see it as different for me.
I'm still looking at it from an older...
Yeah. Cost-wise, for sure, it is, too.
Yeah, right? From an older thing, I still don't think... Now, I know there's ways you can repurpose your old iMacs and that.
And the resale and old things. But I think either way, I'd want a new one anyways. And then I'll want the Retina displays. Yeah. I'll want a Retina display. Like... I don't know any of my CRT monitors that I still ever use.
No, true. But like, I know LCD ones. But I think it's a valid point.
Oh, I think it looks very similar. But I don't know. The all-in-ones I'm kind of okay with because I think we always replaced everything anyways. We just didn't know. We just didn't have to. So we thought we had more control than we did.
Right. The other thing I like about some of these is you see, well, you know, wireless keyboard, wireless mouse. It's essentially one cable. The power cable.
I know, I love that.
And that's certainly appealing. You know, more and more people are you know, most of the average consumers, they don't care how many megabytes or gigabytes or whatever they have. They just want it to work. You know, and you're seeing some of this now. You're really, you know, these are looking, you know, more like the Macs. Like, you know, they're looking like a piece of furniture.
Yeah.
You know, some very high.
Hey, are you telling
techniques.
Me the Bondi blue iMacs didn't look like furniture? Those things are beautiful.
Well, there's the pink ones too, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I remember the first MacBooks too that had the clamshells with the handle.
Yep, I have one.
What were they thinking?
It's over there.
Yeah, we have one.
My old one's over there.
We have one in the unlap here. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Okay, next one. This is actually kind of fairly breaking news. GoDaddy, who always, in my opinion, use TNA to advertise their service. If you don't know what TNA is, look
Danica.
It up.
If you don't know what TNA is, look Danica. Up Danica Danica Patrick.
Yes. So they're still having issues. Someone claiming to be part of Anonymous. Basically, all their DNS servers are non-reachable, which is a problem for anything. If you have anything that touches GoDaddy.
I'm not going to lie. I hate talking about anything Anonymous does.
It's funny because
that was John Pylon for anyone who's listening.
And that's fine. Like you said it yourself. You don't like bullies.
No, exactly.
And I think Anonymous is kind of the internet bullies these days.
What's funny is not long after this came out, and it was very clear that this one kid that said he took it down said he was affiliated with Anonymous. Anonymous tweets out from one of their legitimate accounts, GoDaddy technician trips over an Ethernet cord, pulling it from an edge router, blames Anonymous.
Yeah.
So it's like they distanced themselves from
it. Yeah, I think they did.
Yeah, it's
right?
interesting, yeah.
Which is also another one of the things with Anonymous, which is a bit sketchy, is you never know when it actually is Anonymous.
Yeah. Is this a script kiddie from 2007 that found a script and ran
it and found out he could take down
worked, and maybe GoDaddy didn't update something.
Probably SQL injections and stuff.
But like as I said, it's always interesting though. It's it's still down. I haven't checked in the last couple of minutes.
I'm up.
Are you up now?
GoDaddy as of 2:43 p.m. Pacific.
Okay, so 5:43.
Yeah, so about 4 hours.
Right time. Okay, so but again, it just shows you how vulnerable
Well, it's funny because a buddy of mine, and this says to me, it's all about it, this is. To the threat of any relying on cloud-based services, right? A buddy of mine writes a fairly successful iPhone app. He's able to live off that, and great. It's just him and his wife and a couple other people working together part-time on it. I sent him a message today saying, oh, because I know he hosts some of his stuff on GoDaddy. I said, is this affecting you? He's like, what the hell are you talking about? Looks, finds out that every new app download will fail because he hosts a configuration file on GoDaddy.
Yeah.
Right, so now he gets maybe 0-star reviews from this. His ranking in the App Store falls as a result. Like this isn't just a couple of websites. Yep. Went off.
So how do we solve that? How do we solve that though?
Don't.
The cloud has advantages, but as we say, we talked about with backup and we've seen before. But like, how do we? Yeah.
It's something we're talking about in our office, right? We're talking about do we want to do like a single user sign on? We have a Google Apps Enterprise license, right? Yep. Do we want to use that to log into our enterprise application and authenticate that way, or do we want to keep authentication in-house?
Yep. Exactly.
Right? It's all about where are you willing to take the risk?
And I think it's a question a lot of people in the same business are looking at.
Yeah.
You've got to decide you've got to manage the risk. Like, there's a lot of stuff I manage strictly using Google Apps, Google Drive, but I've also got local copies that do sync real time. So worst comes to worst, I'm going to have a local copy, but I'm still able to work. And I think that falls down to disaster recovery planning and stuff like that, backup planning. It definitely plays a part.
I don't know if you can really plan for your CDN to be hacked.
No, and that's the difference. Yeah.
Yeah. Does Five9s include?
Yeah, I don't think it includes. Yeah, like when Amazon went down and when Sony went down.
Yeah.
There's. I don't know. I just don't like talking about it.
Well, we should mention our good friends at Orpheum. Speaking of not going down very often,
I hear the guys at GoDaddy gave Orpheum a call to figure out how to fix this.
I wouldn't be surprised. Derek's probably a pretty clever guy, and he could probably do that. We just want to briefly mention our good friends at Orpheum. I had the pleasure of actually introducing one or two other London based businesses to Orpheum. So hopefully, you'll see some new websites up from them. They've got some amazing plans. As always, we've said they did save John's wedding. So
it's true.
There we go. Give them a try. But you know what else they do? They also do phone and PBX services. So, if you're a small company, a nonprofit, why are you playing Ma Bell still for all your various lines and all that, where you could have your own hosted-based PBX system for your business? And it starts at $25 for one line. And the more lines you order, the more money you save. So, for example, if you needed 4 phone numbers or extensions, you'd only be paying $95. But that includes unlimited calls, faxes, unlimited long distance to Canada and the U.S. And that's something pretty cool.
Wow.
you know, that's not bad, you know, if you're going to do a lot of calls. If you want to set up a 1-800 number for inbound calls, it's only 2.5 cents a minute for those. And you can use their phones or yours. And again, excellent service behind it, just like they do for their websites and stuff like that. So definitely give them a try if you're looking at it. That's Orpheum.ca. And the Canadian Tech Podcast thanks them for their support. All right. Is there anything else we have this week? We just have some picks of the week, or is there anything else you wanted? Anyone else wanted to add anything from a tech side? Anything you want to plug?
Do I want to plug?
Do you want to plug anything? Rant about anything?
I'll plug something.
Please.
So, DIG, the Digital Interactive Gaming Conference,
yes,
coming up this November.
That's right.
I've put forward a talk to do one of the breakout sessions, which awesome. I'm totally looking forward to because it totally scares the crap out of me.
Excellent.
And
excellent.
It's outside my comfort zone, and I look forward to doing it.
Perfect. What's, can you tell us what the talk is?
Yeah, it's
going to
be – so my background, software development, you know, about 5 years ago – not more than 5 years ago, back in 2005 – where I was at TV Works, we did an agile transition. So we were very sort of waterfall process driven, made the switch to the hot new thing called agile. Took a couple years, did a bunch of things right, did a bunch of things wrong, learned a whole lot from it, and
right.
worked at a couple organizations since then in an agile sort of way. There's part of a certification course that's called the 60-Minute Scrum, and I'm planning to take that, compress it a little bit, and actually do a hands-on session with a room of hopefully about 60 people.
Excellent.
So it's going to be
fun. That'll be really good. We've also got a gaming event this or next weekend at Fanshawe.
Yeah, on Sunday.
That's right. So that'll be good.
That'll be Project Play.
Project Play coming up.
$10 to come. Everybody show up. There'll be more than just video games. We've got board games there. We got, I think there might be somebody doing some pen and paper stuff.
Awesome. And you will be there, John.
I will be there doing something.
There we
go.
There we go. If that's not a reason enough, you can come and meet John Pylon. Maybe get him to autograph something for you.
I may or may not have axes and Viking hats.
May or may not.
May or may not.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, how was your – did you already have your Viking lunch, breakfast, whatever? Didn't
not
you have
sure.
something – you had something you couldn't make it one day because you had a event coming up where you all go for dinner
oh,
somewhere.
Oh, Viking Feast.
Viking Feast, yeah. Something from
yeah,
the big Viking game.
That's a work prop.
Yeah. Did you already have that?
It's the first Thursday of every month. Everybody gets together and kind of talks about how we've done and just
– How big is Big Viking now?
We are at 48 employees.
That's wow.
Which
that's
is great
awesome.
Since it was 6 in October.
Yeah.
So it's almost our one-year anniversary.
Growing very quickly. So do you wear Viking hats at that?
We do not.
You do not. That's
we
unfortunate.
We do not wear Viking hats. So sometimes – some
do
people
you,
do.
Do you eat with your hands?
Yes, we had burgers.
Okay.
We had barbecue.
All right. No, see, that's not the same.
And either. Rock Band.
You know what you should do? You should go to Medieval Times in Toronto.
I love Medieval Times.
Do you really?
I do.
Excellent. I've been there in years. So.
I haven't been there since I was a kid, but it was a great time.
All righty. That's good. Okay, let's move on to picks of the week. Obviously, we can see it was kind of a light week. Everyone's kind of on hold waiting for a certain company in California to announce their things. That's an interesting thing. How would you love to get all this free advertising from the media? Any other company, right?
They bend over for you.
And they bend over for you. So, okay, my pick of the week is Doctor Who Season 7. It's started again. So my wife and I are very happy. Last week's episode, I'm not going to give us spoilers, but let me just put this. Dinosaurs on a freaking spaceship. Totally amazing. So, and what's even better, space here in Canada, they're actually showing the episodes the same day as the BBC does.
Oh, that's good.
So, you know, we don't have to worry about spoilers for as long. So that's an excellent one. John, do you have a...
Yes, I do.
Okay.
There's an app I've been using for the past few days, actually a few weeks now, called Cobook. I don't know if anybody else has had a chance to play with it, but basically what it is it's a address book replacement for your Mac, but it will pull in the social media profiles and of Twitter, Facebook, Google, and add them in automatically to your contacts or add your contacts based off the people in your social media profiles. So it's really handy to have. Like, it gives a little picture of everything, of everybody in there, adds in where they're working if you want to put LinkedIn in there, it adds in like their bio. It's really handy for when you have a 200 some odd person contact list with emails and stuff, sorting them out, and where you know the easiest way to get a hold of them. Like for me, I know that the best way for me to get a hold of Mike Batista, who I've got up here, will be at his @Fronk Twitter. So I just go there, click on Twitter, and it automatically will pop up a tweet window for me to send him a message.
And then Mike usually responds quickly and says
exactly, and he'll be there. Or I can also go on his LinkedIn and send him a message there, but I probably won't hear back from him for years.
That sounds like my wife on Twitter sometimes.
I think
like,
I even have Mike Marshman in here.
You probably do. So you're gonna add that to the show notes, right, John?
Yeah, I'll add that to the show notes.
Awesome. Then. Okay, Mr. Marshman.
I got a couple.
You got a couple.
Like Marshman, and I've got one that is not in the show notes. Just
you
for
have
solutions
one
manager of information technology, Mike Marshman. That's what your LinkedIn profile says.
Oh, is it really? Yeah, that's my job. Solutions manager.
Solutions manager.
Solutions manager.
Manages solutions.
Oh, I could go on all day with solutions. No, so I've really liked Kickstarter, right? And it was maybe a year ago that I first saw my Kickstarter project. And what I like a lot about Kickstarter is the renaissance that has kind of created around products.
Very
and,
true.
You know,
yes.
You've got these things that are really high quality products. There's a very right. limited market for it, but you get a bunch of really passionate people that want to get involved. The Instacube is one that I stumbled across the other day. They've raised at the time they raised about $450,000 of a $250,000 goal. They made a claim that if they got up to $500,000 within the next 10 days, I got 10 days left, that they would add some cool functionality to it. And what it really is, the Instacube is you sign up, you log in with Instagram. It's a physical cube that sits up on the wall and displays your Instagram feed.
That is very cool.
And I just think, you know, it's got tactile buttons for if you want to like something, you click a like button. And, you know, the geek in me thinks this is freaking phenomenal. I want this on my fireplace at home. My wife is like, what are you thinking, you loser?
There's a lot of terrible Instagram photos.
But you know what? Our wives say that for a lot of things we bring in the house.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, Ellie and my wife, Alicia, yeah, they're both very similar.
But what's funny
regards.
Is I talk to her about this, and I tell it to her in the context of Instagram, and she's like, yeah, whatever, you're a loser. Then I talk to her about the context of the $500,000 stretch goal, which was if we make it up to $500,000, we'll add Facebook photo support. So that when
and then that just that
she's
just,
like, oh, well, that's kind of cool.
Because then you can see billions of people's baby pictures.
And that's what she's seeing. That's what she's seeing.
That's what I want to see on
baby pictures and sunsets.
You know how to work the system.
That's what I want to see on my fireplace every night is pictures of the people I went to high schools with, babies.
Well, and the thing is you can configure it to show up. Like for Instagram, you can configure it to show up a certain hashtag, right? I think Flickr integration is a no-brainer. I'm kind of shocked.
Flickr would be what I would want to see because – yeah. Good photos are on Flickr. Yeah. Yeah. A lot
even,
of photos are on Instagram.
Or even from some other services like 500 pixels or something
yeah,
like that.
Some of the real photo sites where yeah. it's like these are
well,
good photos.
Now you know who else probably uses this a lot is London's very own Instagram
Senor Jackman.
Guru.
Yeah, Jackman.
Yeah, Jackman, exactly. So yeah, that's a cool idea.
But what I think is funny is you get these guys that are dedicating their time and passion and energy, and yeah. you know, almost 3,000 people say they want this. Like, who creates a product for only 3,000?
Well, exactly. And Kickstarter's really shown that. I've seen on the board game side, there's been some amazing stuff happening, and even for you know various other software projects, Open Council, for example, which Gavin Blair from Artraction was putting together. So exactly, very successful.
Okay, so now, my second pick.
I know the second one, yes. This second
Before
one.
Before you go on, though, I have a bone to pick with Kickstarter. I've participated in two Kickstarters, and I've still yet to see the products from either of them. They got the one, Kevin and I both got, they're called Juicy Cables. They're these.
Yep.
Did you?
I remember seeing them.
It was a great idea. You got a iPad cable or iPhone cable that was long. Different colors, things like that. I was like, oh, that's great. I just want, like, $5 cable. That'd be great.
Yeah.
So I put in $10 so I can get the extension cable, too. That was 2.5 years ago. Nothing. Not a word since. Or there's been words since saying, like, oh, there's a production delay. Oh, there's a production delay. And then the other one was a – it was a card game. But I still haven't.
Yeah, I think the first Kickstarter that I ever got, and it was actually the one that introduced me to Kickstarter, was the Pad Pivot.
It was one of the
first actual iPad pivoting devices. You could
slap it on your knee, rotate,
and everything. I didn't even have an iPad. I mean, I don't have an iPad now.
Do you have this?
I used it for my phone. I loved it. Right? It was you know, I used it in anticipation of my soon to come 7-inch iOS tablet.
Oh yeah, I'm just looking at it here. What it says? Yeah, no, it's available now. $39.99.
Oh yeah. So, yeah. I mean, that was the one that got me into Kickstarter. Right. And if I ever can't sleep at night, I'm either on Kijiji or Kickstarter.
Exactly. So there we go.
Oh, I love Kijiji.
So my second pick.
Yes.
This week, about 4 or 5 days ago, I got an email, an unexpected email from my thermostat. My thermostat sent me an email. I just called to thank you for saving money Oh, God, I shouldn't sing on air. It saved me. It said, you know, thank you for turning down your thermostat 16 times over the last month.
And what is the name of this?
It's the Nest thermostat. Oh, I love my Nest.
I remember when this arrived to the Marsman household, we had photos of this tweeting. I'm sure that's another one your wife kind of looked at you with a little bit of.
She looked sideways at me when we got it, and yes, then she loves it right now.
She loves it now.
Absolutely.
I believe someone else in our
Twitter.
Bilson. That's right. Dave Bilson just picked one up.
He had a problem, a delivery problem. Apparently one fell off the truck on the way to his place.
Oh, dear.
As in, it was lost in translation.
Oh, dear.
Transit somewhere.
So hopefully he has it now, though. Did he finally get one? So,
and they sell them now in Canada. At the time, I had to buy it, get it shipped.
Where can you get them? At the Apple stores? Or?
No, maybe at the Apple store, but I know just online.
Oh, just online. Okay.
In the States, I believe you can get it through Lowe's, and I don't know if Lowe's in Canada carries them.
Okay, so just give us, for those who don't know, and who haven't heard you and Dave Bilson yes, talking about this, just like
think,
you know, sales
think
guys.
iPhone on the wall for your thermostat, right? You take your thermostat, your traditional, it's kind of a retro look to it, and, you know, I didn't have a programmable thermostat when I moved to the house I'm in right now.
Right.
It was a little boat anchor on the wall, and I'm sure for $65 I could have got a perfectly reasonable 5+2 programmable thermostat that would have done everything that I needed.
But why do that?
But
when
for the price of several of those,
yes,
I think the MSRP US is $250, which is not an unreasonable price for a tech gadget.
Right.
It is moderately unreasonable, but for a thermostat.
But you know, we're geeks, and
it allows you to control your thermostat from your phone. So anywhere you have internet access, you can log in to the website and control it, and you can actually see your usage over time, which is pretty cool. It has a number of sensors within it, so it senses when you're not home, and it automatically turns down the temperature when you're not home. So if you're away and it senses no noise, it senses no movement, and it senses no pressure changes in the house, it'll actually turn your thermostat down to a predetermined level. You're on your way home. You can pull up your phone, say, I'm coming home. The house is down to 17 degrees. I want it to warm up.
Okay, now how about like, you know, you have a dog?
It does pet detection.
Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, my dog doesn't set off the
motion sensor.
Okay, and you know, and your dog, your dog's getting on, but he still moves around a little
that,
bit.
That and thermostats are generally installed a touch higher.
Right, okay.
So my children don't set off the thermostat either.
Well, there we go.
So,
that's good. You can leave the children, turn the temperature down, go off for a few days.
What could go wrong?
You realize your wife's not going to kill me for that, but anyway, that's fine.
Okay, so my third pick.
Your third pick.
Third pick.
You have to add this to
the show notes, too. Okay. I know, that's fine. It's a short show.
I saw something just before coming here when I was bathing my kids and looking at my laptop to ignore them.
I don't.
You're not supposed to have the laptop so close to the bathtub.
The Toys R Us is actually launching a kid's tablet.
Oh, dear.
I think there's something moderately ridiculous about this.
Oh, dear. I think I saw your Twitter thing on that, yeah. Yeah, what's wrong with that? But you know what? I remember when laptops first came out and all that. Kids had mock-up laptops.
Isn't the iPad a kid's tablet, essentially, really? Yeah.
There's a whole table in the Apple Store.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'll admit to it. We have, I can't remember the name of it. We have not the Leapfrog, but the other kid's tablet for our son. And I mean, it's the sort of indestructible, you could, you know, drop it in the toilet and it would still work fine sort of thing, which I'm guaranteed my son will do at some point. Like father, like son.
And you're going to be cleaning that up.
Yeah. When he says son, he means him.
Yes.
Shh. Don't tell my wife. I thought that was moderately ludicrous. And since, you know, we're light on time, I'll throw one more in.
Please.
Okay.
Why the hell not?
It's the caffeine, damn it.
It's the caffeine. Yes, yes. Like I said, we should point out, you know, Starbucks stays in business in London a large part.
I've been excited lately because Copenhagen Wheel was something that was announced a number of years back.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys have heard about that.
It's
if you've watched the TV show Weeds, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a propulsion system for bikes, and yeah. I'm a total bike geek.
You are actually. Right? We should point out that you quite often bike in.
Yeah,
from Byron.
It's funny. I hate biking. May, June, July, August, not my time to bike.
This time
April, September,
yep.
Beautiful
awesome
time. And then,
time
you know, November when you get down to like -2 degrees in the morning, that is like the perfect
thing. And where you are, you've got the ideal commute.
Yeah, I'm on the road for about a kilometer. Yeah,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
The nice thing about the Copenhagen Wheel is it's about keeping your ride feeling flat. So,
right.
I mean, you get some hills and you get sweaty when you get to work downtown. And, you know, some the real sort of the bike legends, the ones that are the real road warriors, they look at these things and it's kind of like, okay, you're not biking anymore.
Right.
Right. And I don't consider the e-bikes that are on the road to be bicycles.
Right.
They have pedals. No one uses
the
pedals.
Exactly.
Right. But this is a pedal assist. And I think it's really cool. When we were camping, I've got a trailer, not camping, when we were at a cottage, I've got a trailer pulled behind me with two kids in it, 20 pounds of wet towels, 10 pounds of beach toys, right, and a 20-pound trailer. I'm pulling like 100 pounds behind me. I would love a little bit of a pedal assist going up a 60-degree hill back to the cottage.
I have the answer for you. Take 5 pounds away of beach toys and put one kid onto a second trailer behind your wife's bike.
No, she would not like that very much.
I think you should just go to the gym.
Oh, harsh. If only I had a membership.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got to talk to you about one of these days.
Okay, I'll stop now.
You're going to stop now? Okay, so anyone else have anything else to plug before we wrap this short show up? Anyone?
Bueller.
Okay, so we just want to point out there is an Apple event.
Yep, we'll be on Wednesday.
I hope to
12:30 p.m. Eastern time.
12:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll probably get things going in preparation for the announcement. And again, I will put the link out once I know what it is. As I said, I'm hoping to have a YouTube channel for the Canadian Tech Podcast by then. But if not, I'll have to use my own. And again, there'll be an option to participate, or there'll also be a simultaneous YouTube stream if you just want to listen to us so-called experts as we pontify or pontificate or whatever exactly for that. So, all right. Well, I'd like to thank you, Mike, for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Making another awesome, awesome show. We should add, Mike and I were having fun listening to John rant about, you know, he goes in on the weekend for a 20-minute job, which he thought, and he ended up being there 5 hours. So those of you who've done sysadmin work, you already know, you're already laughing, we know. So welcome to the real world, my friend.
Yeah, it's a good place.
Exactly. All right, so for this episode, I'm Stuart Clark.
I'm John Pylon.
Mike Marsden.
Thank you, and be well.